Hey, I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to this episode of the Wisconsin Forward podcast on the Civic Media Radio Network and over at civicmedia.us. Today, I'm delighted to have Bianca Shaw as my guest. She's the new Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin, which makes her a leader in the pro-democracy ecosystem of our state. Bianca Shaw, welcome to the Wisconsin Forward podcast.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me today on this very cold day.
Well, when I saw that you got this new job, I said, oh, I got to get Bianca on the episode.
Oh, I appreciate
on the podcast.
You and your continued support always.
I remember you back when I was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We were on many Zooms, mm-hmm. and I appreciated your input back then and delighted to see your new career opportunity here. Why don't you give the listener and me some background on, you know, where you grew up, what your career has been like before you got to Common Cause?
Yeah, well, I'm a third generation Wisconsinite. I did grow up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I spent some time in Memphis, Tennessee, too. I have about 10 to 15 years spent in Memphis, but I've been back in Wisconsin since 2007. I live there and the primary caregiver of my 14-year-old daughter. She just turned 13 January 13th. I'm sorry, she just turned 14 on January 13th.
Well, that can be a handful, but congratulations.
It is, definitely. Thank you so much. We made it. So, yeah, I live there.
You got some time ahead of you, too.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's another podcast. I live there, and I'm very active in community. I consider myself a child of God, an advocate, and a mom, and that has led me on this journey to where I am now. But as far as my career goes, I've spent my career at the intersection of democracy, equity, and systems change. And I primarily help communities move from being impacted by policy to helping shape it.
And what were a couple of your prior posts before coming to Common Cause?
Yeah, most recently I was in statewide campaigns. I helped to build multi-sector coalitions and train advocates and work closely with election administrators. I've worked with legislators, legal partners, and community organizations. And that's been in positions. I've been a political appointee from 2019 to 2022 in Governor Evers' first administration.
Where were you there?
I was in the Department of Children and Families as the director of the Office of Urban Development.
Excellent.
Yep. And from there, I went to All Voting is Local, worked for a lobbyist and senior campaign manager for them.
I love that group.
Yeah, I do too. They're amazing. We are all in the same coalition working, you know, hard at this work. And it's almost like we recycle each other in the movement. Like we all know each other. We're all in the same space.
And what attracted you to Common Cause Wisconsin then?
So Common Cause Wisconsin definitely aligns with my goals. I apply because I believe deeply in the mission and the legacy of Common Cause. For over 50 years, Common Cause has been one of the nation's most trusted guardians of democracy. Our four pillars, which are voting and fair representation, anti-corruption, accountability, factual media and technology, as well as protecting our freedoms, they align directly with the work I've been doing throughout my career. And the role allows me to bring together policy expertise, coalition leadership, and community trust to help strengthen democracy in a very tangible way for all Wisconsinites.
And democracy is so much hanging by a string right now, a tiny little thread. What can you see Common Cause Wisconsin doing about this current crisis of democracy that we're facing with Donald Trump?
Yeah, there's so much. I think just, you know, federal, state, and local. I think I know the first thing that I have to get to is Common Cause Wisconsin members and everyday Wisconsinites that are ready to help shape what our new government is going to look like, because this isn't about reform. It's about transformation at this point. And I think that means creating clear pathways for people to take action and win. That means showing up, speaking out, and holding power accountable. And so I see Common Cause Wisconsin being a convener in the space. I see us being an intervener as well as a place for members and Wisconsinites that are aligned with us, a place to make sure we have that avenue of taking action and winning.
So there are a couple things there. One is there's a defensive strategy against Trump and these assaults on democracy that we're facing. And then there's the transformational visionary concept that you're articulating there. Just on the defensive end, what can we do as a state, what can we do as citizens of Wisconsin to protect our civil rights and civil liberties, which is one of your priorities there on your website and that you mentioned just now.
Yeah. I'll start with just as individuals. One thing that's very important is knowing your neighbors. Like, we really have to get to a place of where we know one another on a familial and intimate level of you caring about your neighbor. And that means you may have to take a meal. You may have to watch a child. You may have to provide transportation. There is something for everyone to do. For those folks that are advocates that want to be in the state capitol, want to be in local buildings, municipal offices, making sure that you're connecting with your local officials to educate them on the issues you care about. Legislators don't know everything. They're elected in their area of expertise and is in their lane. And so it is the responsibility of all citizens, voters, constituents alike to make sure they're connecting with their policymakers and their division leaders. So we talk a lot about elected officials and election officials, but there are civil servants that we need to be connecting with as well. I would say for those activists, I would say making sure that you are standing the line. It's going to be difficult making sure that we're coordinating with all coalitions, not just coalitions on the issues you care about, because democracy is at stake. And so all issues are on the table at this time. And specifically, in terms of legislation, Common Cause Wisconsin, we are working in the Capitol. I'm here. When I leave here, I'm going to be in the state Capitol building today as well, working on supporting and opposing a few bills that are in the circulating in the building right now.
What are a couple of those bills?
Sure. Assembly Bill 517, that would oppose a loophole by expressly prohibiting foreign nationals from contributing to referendum committees. And we support those guardrails for transparency and integrity. Assembly Bill 906 is a similar proposal. We're still reviewing for the details and implications, and as well as Assembly Bill 752, which would add new penalties tied to drop box mail-in ways that risk increasing fear and confusion without evidence of a real problem. So we definitely oppose that. Another one that I'll mention is Assembly Bill 547 that deals with voter list maintenance and change of address verification. And we're very cautious with this one, as any list maintenance must protect eligible voters with strong notice and due process. And one last thing that I do want to mention that was hot off the press. I started December 1st, and by December 18th, we were in a federal lawsuit. So we're in a federal case right now with the United States Department of Justice lawsuit against the Wisconsin Election Commission. The Department of Justice is seeking Wisconsin's full unredacted statewide voter file. We don't want that. We have intervened to help protect voter privacy and prevent federal outreach, and we're working with Law Forward and ACLU on that case.
And the way I understand that case, what the federal government, what the Trump administration wants is all the data, including people's Social Security numbers and other
any
real private information
available
that they're not entitled to, and we don't want them to have.
Right? Exactly. We don't want them. And we have three voters that have intervened with us to tell the case of why they do not want their information in the hands of any federal government. Mm.
And working with Law Forward is great. I think you're going to enjoy that. They're a terrific pillar of our democratic battles here. It's interesting. You said know your neighbor. I think that's really good advice. A funny thing, I live south of Madison now. Mm-hmm. I used to live next to West High School for 25 years as our kids were there. But part of it is knowing how to be a neighbor. Mm. And it's weird because it doesn't break on political lines. There's a guy who voted for Trump who lives two doors down and brings me maple syrup every Christmas from his farm up north. And then there's some more liberal folks in between us who are new to the neighborhood and are just getting used to how to be neighborly. Mm-hmm. It's improving, which is good. And then their neighbors a few houses down who I think would turn me in if they got a chance. So it's always a little delicate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. As a trained facilitator, so in 2016, I was trained by the Frank Zeiler Center for Public Discussion. And so difficult conversations are something that I lean into. And here's the ideal behind neighborly relationships. we will argue over issues, but we can come together over values. So that neighbor that brings you the syrup, you value good syrup. You value good breakfast. You know what I mean? I'm just speaking in layman's terms, but there's always going to be issues. But your mind can change on issues very quickly, whereas your values pretty much remain the same through life. Sometimes they change, but I need people to understand that we can, you know, disagree over issues, but meet where your values are connected.
My old friend Lisa Lucas has an expression, don't bring a fact to a values fight.
Right.
And that speaks to the real thing that you're talking about right now, which is you can't persuade people, at least off the bat, with facts or arguments. You've got to connect, build a relationship on a values basis, and go from there.
But, man, why persuade? You know, when we're listening to folks, we should be listening to receive and not persuade. I think that is a part of the issue, is that everybody wants to be right when our democracy, in fact, depends on difference of opinion and us being able to agree to disagree. And I think that, again, you definitely, when folks are no common sense, we want to persuade them into common sense. But I think that there is a value to having folks that make you think outside of the box sometimes and being able to have those conversations.
You know, you remind me about the importance of listening, which is such a good point, that there's an organizer in Milwaukee, Miss Anita Johnson. We were at a training session 10 years ago, and some Washington folks flew in to tell everyone in the room how to do organizing, and Miss Anita's been doing organizing for decades.
Yes.
And so this person goes through, here's how you should go to doors, here's the rap you should do at the door, and she raises her hand. She says, you know, when I go to a door and I knock on a door, the first thing I do is listen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such an important, powerful statement, both about her strategic insight and experience, but also just on her human ability to connect with people, that it stayed with me to this day. I love Miss Anita.
Right. My great-grandmother used to say, you listen long enough, you can learn something from a fool.
Well, there you go.
And that's the truth.
Tell me about the issues that are most important to you. You know, Common Cause, when I think about Common Cause Wisconsin, I think about money and politics and gerrymandering.
Mm-hmm.
Are those still going to be vitally important to you over there?
Definitely. For as long as they are to the American people and all Wisconsinites. So Common Cause, we're going to focus on three major areas for 2026. It definitely will expand over time, can expand over time. But we're going to focus on increasing campaign finance, transparency, and accountability, so voters know who is influencing their elections and their policymakers. We're also going to focus on advancing nonpartisanship redistricting to finally end gerrymandering in Wisconsin. Wisconsin voters need to choose their representatives and not the other way around. And last but not least, strengthening protections for election administration, including safeguard for voters, election workers, so our elections remain secure, accessible, and trusted. Those are the areas that I plan to focus on and have been focusing on in these first few, 50 days that I've been in office, but in position.
It is in office. How have those first 50 days been treating you?
They've been well. I think I couldn't have started at a better time, having already been in coalition, not missing a beat. The onboarding process is one thing, but this work continues. And I'm just grateful to have had coming into a legacy that I am 31 years from Jay Heck, and having laid the foundation so that there is not much ground that I need to necessarily be urgent and covering, but just making sure that the support and sustainability is there.
One thing that Jay did, longtime executive director over at Common Cause Wisconsin, say hi for me too next time
you
talk to him, was he was just so great with the media. I mean, he was a human quote machine. And I just wonder, how are you going to try to follow in those footsteps?
You know, I'm a creator, so I am so very honored to have, come in the footsteps of Jay, but I plan to create an impression for the next 30 years, for the next 50 years. And so I don't, I've asked Jay to stay on. He may not be here physically, but definitely, I was just texting him last night. And so I think that he'll still be around. And when he's ready to tap back in, he definitely has a space. So for me, it isn't about trying to fill his shoes more so than continue his legacy and uphold the things that we need to continue, like, you know, anti-corruption, gerrymandering, money and politics, but also creating that new wave, because we're in a new space of media and technology, and we have to move that way as well.
And you've got shoes of your own, so. Yeah. That's how I always felt when I took
Very cute ones. Not today, it's snowing.
All right, I had to take a look. But yeah, when you take someone's place, it's always a question. I mean, and it's hard when someone's been there a long time. Mm-hmm. I remember when I became editor of the Progressive after the tragic death of my predecessor, Irwin Knoll, who'd been there for decades. It was like a colleague of mine said, "Do you feel like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders?" Which was a little grandiose, but it is a weight. You must feel a little weight too.
I do. I do. In the area of membership engagement and donor engagement, that definitely has been weighing on me. The work, I can do it in my sleep, but I think the part about engaging members that's been with someone for 30 years, engaging donors that's been accustomed to, you know, one way for 30 years, that's been weighing heavy. But I also have a great team. Erin Grunzi is our program assistant, and she's amazing. And so she's been able to help me to transition in a way that I couldn't have asked for, you know, coming into a position as such.
And donor work is just relationship building, just like everything else.
Yes.
And I can tell you'd be good at that. So I don't think that's something you need to fear. I'm sure you'll be able to tackle it quite easily.
Thank you. Give us a Common Cause Wisconsin, y'all.
There you go. And what's the website while you're making a pitch?
Is commoncause.org, www.commoncause.org, and look for Wisconsin to donate there.
And it is tax deductible.
It is.
Because that makes a difference for some people. I used to think that was crazy when I first started doing donor relations, but it makes a big difference. And then you have to do foundation work too. Mm-hmm. Do you have experience doing that?
Yes. So I've been trained technically in that area through a nonprofit in Wisconsin to do coalition work, foundation work, as well as fundraising.
You know, on the website I mentioned, you got civil rights and civil liberties. I couldn't find anything in there. So I want you to fill that out for me, what your priorities are in that particular sector.
Yeah, we're still working that out. But for me, as I'm coming in, a basic needs campaign, I think, is going to be the first and foremost. I've been speaking with Mary Beth Collins from the UW's Office of Civic Liberties, and just brainstorming what it looks like to meet the basic needs of advocates, activists, organizers, as well as voters. When we think about those persons that are incarcerated, you know, many of them, 70% of folks that are incarcerated actually have the right to vote because they're awaiting pretrial in most cases. That's a national. And we're drilling down those numbers in Wisconsin. But when people are worried about how they're going to eat, how they're going to, you know, where they're going to sleep, how they're going to make it the next day, they are not concerned about showing up to a public hearing. They're not worried about coming out to a judicial race. And so how can organizations, funders, connecting with social service programs begin to actually meet the needs of individuals? There's a large housing crisis in Wisconsin right now. And what are we doing to meet that need? I plan to come to the civic liberty and civic justice pillar with the idea that I can't ask a person to do something for me if I'm not actually caring about that whole person. And of course, Common Cause Wisconsin can't, you know, pay for housing. We won't pay for food, but we have access to connect folks with those programs and to make sure that funders are aware of the needs of the folks that are on the ground as well.
Yeah, I think that it's important in an organization like Common Cause, as it was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, to view these issues of democracy and justice in a broad way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm excited about that possibility too for you.
You
mentioned incarcerated persons. There are between 40,000 and I think 60,000 formerly incarcerated people in Wisconsin who are citizens, but who still don't have the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy because in many states, including Illinois, when you get outside the prison bars, you've served your time.
Right.
You have the right to vote. But in Wisconsin, because you're still on paper, as it's called, You can be deprived of the right to vote for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And, mm-hmm. and that's a crazy kind of disenfranchisement. Is Common Cause Wisconsin working on that issue as well, getting the vote back for formerly incarcerated persons?
Well, we support the Wisconsin Voting Rights, Jail Voting Rights Group, where I'm the co-chair of that group.
Oh, I didn't know that, so that's neat.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, so yes, we're not working maybe specifically on that. We have a list of priorities for 2026. Again, the basic needs, ID, and there are other priorities there too, but we have a group of made up of ACLU, The League, All Voting is Local, Common Cause, where we meet on a regular basis monthly to talk about the rights of those who are formerly incarcerated and currently incarcerated.
And you mentioned The League. The League, of course, is the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And traditionally, Common Cause Wisconsin and the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin have worked well together.
Yes, we still do. Well,
that's great.
Yes.
Yeah, well, those are important allies. We're talking here just after some horrific scenes up in Minneapolis with the murder of Renee Good and Alex Pretty. What do you see Common Cause Wisconsin doing about this grotesque violation that ICE is imposing in Minneapolis and maybe imposing here in Wisconsin?
Yes. And just to say, for my family, to those families and communities that are going through the tragedies that we're experiencing and witnessing in real time, just heartfelt prayers, positive thoughts, and much action has to take place in response to that. Common Cause's role is to defend civil liberties, the democratic accountability, and the rule of law. When federal enforcement actions raise serious concerns about transparency, use of force, due to process, or community safety, the public deserves clear answers and independent oversight. We support the efforts that demand accountability. We support the efforts that demand lawful conduct and respect for constitutional protections. As well as communities, we feel that communities should never have to feel intimidated to use their First Amendment rights or any right in the Constitution. And so we are supporting these investigations to make sure that what happened, folks are held accountable for the murders that we're witnessing.
What was your gut reaction when you saw that video of Alex Pretty getting gunned down by those immigration folks?
This has been, and I don't want to become emotional.
Well, it is emotional. Don't
it
worry
is.
About that.
It's been very hard. As an African-American woman, this isn't the first time we've been here. And so for me, the gut reaction is the question is, what is it going to take?
Yeah.
What is it going to take? Is it going to take our children? Is it going to take, you know, what will it take for us as an American people to stand up together despite the issues, as we talked about earlier? We're always going to have pro-life or pro-choice. There's always going to be, whether you believe in, you know, public education or school choice, those are always going to be issues. But the value of life, the quality of life, should never be an issue that we have to discuss. And so for me, my good reaction has been preparing my family for what's next, preparing my community for, you know, we scenario plan in this space, but our family scenario planning, our community scenario planning. We have to get to a place where we're prepared for any of the things that might happen and that can happen. And for me, looking back in history to, you know, this isn't the first time, but it's a new time for all of us. And so it has been very, it's been difficult.
Yeah.
It's been emotional. And I've just been in a space of, I'm a woman of faith. So in a prayerful space, in a space of being positive, and in the space of wanting to be a resource for folks that need me.
Yeah. And it's hard not to be just hit in the gut.
Yeah.
And we all do scenario planning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Jewish American. I was raised with knowledge of and study of the Holocaust,
mm-hmm.
and wondering, you know, if you were Jewish in 1933 in Germany or in 1934, 1935, why don't you get the hell out?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question always in my mind and the minds of many Jewish Americans is, you know, are we on the road to Auschwitz here? Or, yeah. you know, what do we do here and when do we leave? Or do we stand up and fight? And which is my impulse. But,
yeah.
You know, the thought about, you know, hell. You know, I'm an old man now. you know,
right.
do I want to be in my last few years with this craziness,
right.
this fascism?
Yeah.
But I'm more interested in the scenario planning that you're doing organizationally. I don't want to ask personally.
Mm-hmm.
What in the pro-democracy nonprofit sector in Wisconsin that I was a member of when I was the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, what is the thinking about if ICE comes to Milwaukee or Madison and the volume that it and the ferocity and illegality that it's come to Minneapolis, what do you do?
And so I am not at a position to share publicly what those are. What I can tell you is that we are convening. There was a convening last month and there is another happening in February for because each organization has their own of what they're going to do. But we have to have that coalition messaging plan of action for when and if it does happen. And so the second week of February, the Wisconsin Voting Rights Coalition is convening to talk about some of those things, as well as continue to grow through the scenario planning. But what I can share is that the collaboration with boots on the ground organizations that are doing the work, that are standing the line, and how we support them, not just through our being present, but financially, because financial support is needed for organizations to make sure that they're able to stand the line in these times. And so the collaboration piece has been the most influential and major piece of the scenario planning, because each of us does something well and not one of us can do it alone. And so making sure that we're leveraging our resources of time, people, and money to make sure that not just the coalition organizations are supported, but those organizations that are boots on the ground.
Well, I'm glad there's convening and strategizing going on, because we certainly need that.
Yes.
Here's an easier but kind of trickier question. I mean, it's a less loaded emotionally and as far as the urgency of what's going on right now. But I know a lot of organizations, legacy organizations like Common Cause, League of Women Voters, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, ACLU of Wisconsin, have a problem attracting younger people. That's just a straight up fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, coming into Common Cause Wisconsin, and knowing that, I'm sure, what your response is or strategy for trying to get some more younger people involved.
Well, I'm a pretty young thing myself, so no, I'm just saying. So.
Making me feel bad now.
I am a young woman, so I'm going to meet the young folks where they are. Just kidding. I am very much, collaboration is key for me. However, I do know from my work and time just in community, what has worked in my organizing years has been meeting people where they are. And so I think that what legacy organizations have to do is begin to come out. And again, we've been in this remote space for so long, and so that's where we're used to being. And for me, it's about touring Wisconsin colleges, going to make sure that college students, alongside of Campus Votes with my dear partner, Kristen Hansen, making sure that we are there to support the students, whether there's questions, there's issues, or there's support needed. I also think that creating spaces for them that are enjoyable for them. So if there is a concert happening, us going to that concert and creating a space there for us to be able to provide the information that is needed. Another thing that I think that is important is to make sure that we are creating a pipeline of leadership that actually pays students or youth that want to be involved civically, because they want to be involved. They may not have the right guidance. And so creating those leadership opportunities where the leaders that who are trained are able to go back into their communities and bring more along. So for me, there are a few different ideals that I have, but most importantly is talking to the youth and figuring out what it is that they want. I think a lot of times we can sit around tables and come up with ideas about what youth want, but until we ask them, we really don't know.
So true. Is there anything you want to add before we finish up that I haven't asked you yet? You know, there's a lot of areas we could go into, but I just wanted to give you an opportunity to say a last word or two or answer a question I didn't ask.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate your continued support. I'm really eager to serve in this position, the Wisconsin people, to make sure that we are sustaining our democracy and making sure that we are creating a force of unity in the space. I have a question for you, though.
No, God.
what advice would you provide? Because you are a legacy builder. I admire your work, have followed your work for many years. And so just want to know, I'm about 50 days into the job, maybe 55. But what would your advice be to me for continuing to legacy build from JHEC, knowing that we're going into this new phase of the next 50 years of Common Cause?
Well, I think the most important thing, I guess, is just to take care of yourself and don't feel like you have to work that extra 10, 15, 20 hours. 40 hours is fine. People died for the weekend. Take your weekends, you know. And the marginal utility of those of the 55 mm-hmm. hours compared to 40 is pretty low.
Yeah.
So just do your 40 hours, enjoy the job, but make sure you take time for your own hobbies and your own family and prioritize those things too. Otherwise the job can consume you and we don't want you to burn out.
Yeah.
You're a rising star and we don't want you to flash out and burn out. So,
thank you.
So I wish you all your luck at Common Cause Wisconsin. Thanks for being my guest today on the Wisconsin Forward podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No, it was great fun getting to know you a little better and just having a conversation. So I also want to thank my engineer and producer, Dom Lee, who's always great to work with. And I want to thank Sage Weil of Civic Media for giving me this platform. But most of all, I want to thank you for listening. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Wisconsin Forward podcast, where I think I'll be discussing fascism right here in the United States and what we can do about it. You won't want to miss that one.